Welcome to the Clubhouse with Shane Bacon, presented by TeeOff.com by the PGA Tour. I am your host, Shane Bacon. This week, we've got the U.S. amateur champion Victor Hovland on the line. The Norwegian junior at Oklahoma State was simply unbelievable at Pebble Beach. If you didn't get a chance to watch any of the coverage, he was down once, one time, one hole, the entire portion of match play, the entire U.S. amateur. It was ridiculous the way he played. The semifinal match with Cole Hammer was must-watch TV. If you didn't get a chance to see it, I will post on the Clubhouse Pod Twitter account the highlights link so you can go look at it because you need to, because you're a golfer, and it was some of the best golf you'll see all year. So he's on the line chatting about golf in Norway, life in Stillwater, plans moving forward, all that good stuff. But before we get to that, I wanted to let you know that Ridgewood Country Club isn't the only must-play course in the tri-state area. That's where the FedEx Cup playoffs start this week. The golf club at Mansion Ridge is a Jack Nicklaus design that boasts the same pristine conditions at a parkland-style course. But if you're looking for a links or a beachfront-style course, check out the collection of thousands of other great golf courses across the country at teeoff.com by the PGA Tour. That's the official tee time reservation site of the PGA Tour. And start booking times now without booking fees. That's right, no booking fees, every course, every tee time. Plus, as a valued listener of the Clubhouse, you'll get to save an additional 25%. That's a fourth on deal times with a single-use promo code TEEOFFBACON at teeoff.com. Do it. It'll save you dough. It's an easy way to find tee times wherever you live, and it's smart. I'm just trying to give you ideas to save you a little bit of money and allow you to have a little bit more fun on the golf course. And one more thing. When it comes to golf equipment, we always want a brand new driver. We always want the brand new golf ball. We always want the most rad, is rad still a word? Golf shoes that the best golfers in the world are wearing. The one thing that doesn't ever get enough attention, that is your golf bag. If you haven't changed your bag in 5 or 10 years, treat yourself to an upgrade today with the Ogio Cirrus bag. It's fully loaded with all the features you want in a golf bag, yet it's still remarkably light. Trust me, you can carry it effortlessly, while also protecting those brand new clubs, complete with a water-resistant pocket for your valuables and the rapid access pocket, making it quick and easy to get a new ball after you send one into a backyard. Check out Ogio.com or your local golf retailer to get your hands on the Cirrus today. Stop carrying around the golf bag you've had since the 1990s. That's probably when Victor was born. It's time to upgrade. Ogio, the world's best bags. Well, it was a fun couple of weeks. We had the U.S. Women's Amateur. We had the U.S. Amateur. I was out with some of the guys at Titleist for a couple days. I'm finally home for a week before I get back to PGA Tour Live duties next week. I hope they remember what I look like. It has been a while since I did a PGA Tour Live. I'm excited to get back out there. I'm excited to focus a little bit more of my time on the PGA Tour. I have been neglecting it. I hope they're not mad at me because I've had some amateur events as our season at Fox kind of winds down. And what a season it was. Man, the golf courses we were at were unbelievable. But that's enough of me. You don't want to hear me rambling. Let's get to Victor, our U.S. amateur champ. And we welcome into the clubhouse the 2018 U.S. Amateur Champion. I can only assume that probably doesn't get old to hear. Victor Hovland, the junior now at Oklahoma State. You're already back at the grind, man. You're already back in classes.
Yeah, I am, unfortunately. It's good to be back. And obviously after last week, it's kind of nice to get back to the normal life and relax a little bit.
Yeah, for people that don't know, last week was a little bit of a historic run. You were pretty unbelievable at Pebble Beach. You were down one hole in one match the entire run after qualifying, and that was, I think it was in the round of 32 on the second hole. You were one down, and you quickly erased that and went on to kind of dominate that match, and you rolled through a couple other big names. Have you had time to kind of look back on the week? I mean, I know we got a chance to chat with you in the booth on Sunday after the win, but you know, what have the last 3, 4, 5 days been like for you as you've reflected a little bit on what you just did?
Yeah, I haven't really thought much about the first few days of the tournament. It's mostly been kind of the last 3, 4 matches, especially the match against Cole, where I felt like I played my best, and that's kind of the match that I've been thinking the most about. Now I've just kind of gotten back and I've tried to relax as much as possible because I was really nervous during the week and didn't get all that much of sleep. So trying to catch up on that.
And you talked a little bit about going in. Your confidence level wasn't as high as some would probably think you need to go on and roll through a U.S. amateur like you did. You talked about coming in and not feeling 100% great about the game. Was there something that clicked during the week? Was there something for you that worked out well to where you were able to kind of click in? Because, you know, for people that don't know, the semifinal match, you made 8 birdies against Cole Hammer. It was a very, very impressive performance across Pebble Beach. But going in, the confidence level wasn't that high.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I didn't play a tournament. I think my last tournament before the end was maybe 2 weeks. And I had a lot of time to just kind of practice on my game and work on stuff. And when I do that, I have very high expectations. And when I don't accomplish those, I get really frustrated and almost dig myself down. But then when it was time for the AM, you're just trying to place the ball at the right spots and just get the ball in the hole. And as I just started focusing more on that instead of just trying to feel a shot or see the ball flight that I like or feel the ball strike, I just kind of forgot everything about that. And I looked at the fairway. Okay, that's where I'm supposed to hit it. Okay, the hole is there on the green. I'm supposed to hit it there, a little right of the hole. And as the week progressed, I just started hitting a little better. And obviously my putter also heated up.
Yeah, it did heat up, and you had your coach on the bag. I know Coach Bratton, caddy for Peter Uihlein when he won at Chambers Bay. How does the conversation go down to where you ask Coach to be your caddy, or does he come up to you and say, hey, if you're needing somebody to loop this week, I'm down to do it?
Well, he was going to caddy for Matt Wolf, but he had an injury in his wrist and couldn't play. And he knew that I wasn't going into the week with a caddy, so he asked me if I wanted to have him on the bag. And I said I love that because I know that he's got a lot of confidence or experience, and I really thought that he could help me.
And how much did he help you? How much does that help having the guy that you kind of look up to at school there with you every step of the way?
I've been Oklahoma State for 2 years now, and he sees me every day, and he sees me play all the time, so he knows my game in and out. And that just makes it easier for him to just say the right things and, give me the right clubs and, perform as good as I can.
And, we chatted a little bit in the booth. You mentioned you hadn't looked at your cell phone yet Sunday afternoon as you were kind of hanging on to the Havemeyer. I'm assuming you've looked at your phone now. What has been, what was the response like? I mean, how many people reached out to you, when you first opened the phone? What was your message number at, and who was the most surprising person to send you a congratulatory text?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of all divided, all the notifications and stuff. I got a lot on text messages and, messages on Facebook, Instagram, direct messages from just random people, Snapchats, emails. I mean, everything you could kind of think about. It took me so long to read all and respond to the messages. I try to do that as well as I could. And it was cool to see. I saw Jack Nicklaus congratulated me and Devin for a good tournament. And I saw Gary Player and a couple of other former youth amateur champs, Ricky Ramsey and Kelly Kraft. So that was pretty cool.
Was there one person that you got a message from that you were like, oh, I can't believe this is that? Was there a moment where you're like, whoa, this is nuts?
Well, I can't really think of one moment. I think it was just the culmination of all the things just coming together and seeing, okay, yeah. I don't know. It was just like a crazy moment.
Is this the most popular you've ever felt? Is this like the coolest you've ever felt when you're getting messages from Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player and all these people?
Yeah, I'm not sure if cool is the right word. I would definitely say honored. It's not every day you get a message like that, but it was almost more just scary because it's kind of life changing and I don't know. hard to describe.
Yeah, well, you talked about you were sitting in the booth, you had the trophy in front of you, and I asked you, you grew up in Norway. And I asked you players that you looked up to, and you said the guy you'd always kind of looked up to and the person you wanted to kind of follow in their footsteps, if at all, was Tiger Woods. And you're looking at a trophy now that has his name on it, and it's going to have your name on it. That had to be, you know, a pretty special moment to see, and that had to be a pretty cool thing to understand. Finally, you know, you swallow the fact that you've won a championship that Tiger won as well, and that kind of is the first step, really, if you think about it, down that path of professional golf, because, you know, you've pulled off a feat that some of the biggest players in the world pulled off.
For sure. Yeah, and also, as I mentioned in the booth, is that I do have a lot of doubt, and to kind of see that I managed to get it done that week, and to get my name on that trophy, along the names of Tiger and Jack, and a lot of other really special names, that's going to give me a lot of confidence going forward, and cool experience.
Was going into the week, you, your teammates, your friends that were in the field, did it feel bigger because it was at Pebble Beach? Did this amateur feel different? I know you played in one before, but did it feel like a bigger deal considering it was at one of the most famous golf courses in the world?
Good question. I've only played two AMs, and I played last year at Riviera, and I thought that was a very cool experience. I'm not sure. It was definitely cool to have a tournament of that magnitude and play it at a place that's as unbelievable as Pebble, and with all the history and all of that. So I can't really compare it, but it definitely felt really cool to play out there.
Yeah, you've played in two amateurs, and you've played them at Riviera and Pebble Beach. You might have to retire from amateur golf after that. I don't think it's going to get much. I don't think it's going to get much better. I know it's at Pioneers number two, but that's a pretty good 1-2 punch. You know, you get that likely invitation to the Masters. I always love asking this question: how many people have reached out to you already and saying, "Hey, if you need a caddy, I'll be there for you"?
Yeah, kind of finding the first guy, second, third, and all the way along to a 100th person that could caddy. So no, it's been a lot of people that have reached out, and that's obviously really cool to see that people want to be a part of that experience with me, and yeah, that they care so much.
So you grew up in Norway, and I'm sure that the general public probably doesn't know a ton about Norway golf. So just walk us through. I mean, I know there's some unbelievable golf courses there, but how did you get into the game, you know, being Norwegian? Was it your parents? Was it something that they wanted to drop you off at the golf course? How did you initially get involved in golf as a kid?
Well, it was my dad, for sure. He worked in the U.S. and has a driving range to work every day. And then one day he just decided that, okay, I'm going to try it out. And when he came back home, he bought a golf set for me, and I was about 4 years old. And obviously I didn't practice that much being that young, but as I grew older, that I kind of said to my dad, hey, I want to start practicing in the winter as well, because you can't really do that in Norway. You have to go inside and hit balls, which is not that exciting, but when I was about 10 or 11, I kind of wanted to take that next step.
So what is that next step? Is that moving somewhere else? Is that kind of going to another place you have a chance to play in the winter?
No, not really. I still stayed at the same place, but I started practicing in the winter. I started hitting a lot of balls. I practice every day. And I think later that year, I got into like an organized junior group so I could practice with other juniors and get some help from a teaching professional. And that's really where it all started.
And I know winters can be brutal, but summers can be unbelievable. You can play late, can't you? I mean, you can play all night.
Yeah, pretty much you can. When I was back home this summer, I was so jet lagged, I could, I'd sleep during the day. And when it was 12 o'clock at night, I'd just go out and hit some shots and maybe play a few holes. So that worked out really.
And what are the most holes Victor Hovland has ever played in one day in the summer in Norway?
I've played 54 holes.
Three rounds?
Yeah.
Never went 72. After 54, you were a little done? The dogs were barking? I mean,
we had no carts in Norway, or we don't normally use carts, so I'll pull 54 is more than enough.
Let's take a quick break to remind you that hiring used to be hard. Multiple job sites, stacks of resumes, a confusing review process. But today, hiring can be easy. And you only have to go to one place to get it done. That's ZipRecruiter.com/clubhouse. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes all of them and spotlights the top candidate so you can never miss a great match. With results like that, it's no wonder that ZipRecruiter is the highest rated hiring site in America. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/clubhouse. That's ZipRecruiter.com/clubhouse. ZipRecruiter.com/the clubhouse. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And one more time, I wanted to remind you that we always want brand new golf equipment. But what do we forget to get? That is a brand new golf bag. That's what holds your clubs. That's what you carry. That's what's unbelievably light on your shoulders. You've got to treat yourself to an upgrade today with the Ogio Cirrus bag. Check out Ogio.com or your local golf retailer to get your hands on a Cirrus today. Stop carrying around that old, nasty, ratty golf bag from the 90s and upgrade Ogio, the world's best bags. All right, back to Victor. So why Oklahoma State? I mean, how does that process go down? I mean, you're in Norway. How do you eventually get to Stillwater?
Well, I played a lot of golf for the national team in Norway, and I think it first started out at the European Boys Team Championships in Scotland. I believe that's 2012, and Coach Braden was out there recruiting along with all with a lot of different college coaches as well, and he was mainly there to watch Christopher Ventura, another Norwegian that went to Oklahoma State, just graduated. And I happened to play behind him, and he saw something that he liked in me, and he kind of just kept his eye open. And when I got old enough, he reached out along with some other coaches and ended up taking a few visits. But when I came here and talked to Chris about how the program is run and just looking at the wall, looking at all the players that's been here and what they have accomplished in school, but also in the pro ranks was really inspiring for me. And that's ultimately why I ended up going to Oklahoma State.
And what has been the biggest culture shock for you? Because I can only imagine Oklahoma has been a little bit of an eye opening experience for a young man from Norway.
Yeah. I mean, it is way different. But I would say I assimilate very well. And what I like the most about Stillwater is that it's so small. So there's not really that much going on except for you're going to class, you're playing golf. So that really worked out well to me because I didn't really like just a lot of traffic, a lot of people, just a bunch of stuff happening. So that was really great to come to Stillwater.
Come somewhere super chill, and then it's a little bit different. What's something that since you've moved to Stillwater, you've either had for the first time, if it's a food or a drink or something like that, that now you're like, how did I not have this for 18 years of my life?
Not really. I mean, I know that people like root beer and Dr. Pepper, but I think that stuff is absolutely terrible. but I was a little skeptical about the, like they have Cokes with a sherry and vanilla flavors in there. And I'm like, what is this? And then you start taking a few sips and you're like, okay, this is actually pretty good. I can see why that's on there.
So you're not going to get a root beer sponsorship. You're telling me that's probably out the window.
No, probably not. Hey, I mean, it depends on the amount, but I mean, no, not really.
So is the golf scene in Norway, is it growing? Is it booming? Because you already mentioned a player that came through Oklahoma State. You have a teammate on your team that's from Norway on Oklahoma State. Is it a booming industry there? I mean, is it something that we're going to see more and more players from Norway come over stateside and compete and make it professionally?
I hope so. Now, I haven't looked at all the stats and all that in terms of how many people are playing and new members coming in every year. I haven't looked at that, but it has kind of been a little void the last, I'd say, maybe 10 years. But I think there's a few guys out there right now that that I hope and think can kind of help Norwegian golf get to the next level where we get more younger kids into the game. So that we can kind of build a little environment where it's easier to play golf and have fun with other kids that's your age, because there's not really much of that in Norway today.
Yeah, and I mean, give young kids people to look up to. I mean, I think that's the important part. I mean, you mentioned one professional from Norway as you were growing up that you had a chance to kind of look up to, if you will, and then, of course, you mentioned Tiger Woods. But, you know, if you and a couple of the guys from that team make it on the pro ranks, you know, it's a chance for them to see you guys as kind of the people to look up to, which I know is kind of crazy to think as a junior in college, but, you know, that's what you guys are kind of setting up, and it's kind of a neat culture.
Yeah, for sure. And as I said, I'm still a junior in college, so there's still some time left for me to join the pro ranks, and then some even more time to hopefully establish myself on some tour. To just kind of be a part of that driving generation, that's really a big honor, and I hope I can succeed in that manner.
So what is the plan? I mean, I can only imagine when you win a U.S. Amateur, I'm assuming that you get a lot of questions about what's the next step? Are you going to turn professional? What are you going to do? For you personally, and the nice thing about you and people that haven't got a chance to listen to you in interviews and talk after events is you're a confident kid, but you're a nice young kid, and you seem like you get it, which I think is a very important thing. Has this changed anything for you in your plans going forward, not just this year, but the next couple of years?
It does change a few things, but I still think that I need to get a lot better before I turn pro, and obviously the win is going to open a few doors, but the things that I want to work with and improve, that hasn't changed. And I still think I need to do those changes and continue to improve before I become comfortable joining the ranks.
What are things in your game that you feel like you could improve on? I mean, I know anybody could say everything, but what are some specific stuff that you do want to work on in 2018 and 2019?
I do hit the ball really straight. And I did that even so last year, even though I was playing not so great golf. I usually still always hit it pretty straight, but it's not as like remarkable or flashy as other guys.
Okay.
That I've played with. I play with a lot of good college players. And for example, when I see a kid hitting a 3-wood off the deck, off a downslope to firm green, and just launches it up in the air and gets it to stop, I'm just like, they're moping. I mean, I can't really believe it. I have to touch my eyes and like kind of pinch myself. Did I really see that? I mean, that was unbelievable. I was starting to get a little better at that, or I have been getting a little better at that this year. But I still feel if I'm going to be able to get all my potential out and get comfortable earning my card on the tour right away, I believe I need to get better with the longer clubs, more consistent with the putter, and just kind of keep on doing what I have been doing, and I think that's going to be really good for me.
And what's the part of your game that you feel like is where you want it to be? I mean, what's something that you feel like is the best part of your game as you go through this season and you start to think about moving to a professional environment?
I'd say probably the shorter irons. I'd say that's my strongest part of the game, which was one of the reasons why I ended up winning the U.S. Amateur. Because at Pebble Beach, you have so many yardages that's at around maybe 140 yards and kind of in between there and 110 yards. And you're not going to have a perfect number every time, so you got to be able to hit those kind of grip down 9-iron or pitching wedge and control your spin, control your trajectory, and control your distance. And that's been a really strong part of my game the last couple of years.
Have you had a chance to go back and watch any of it? Have you watched yourself at all? During any of the rounds, kind of after you got a chance to get out of Monterey?
I did mainly see the highlights, but also got to see the semifinal against Cole, which was really cool to watch after making 6 birdies on the back 9 and just watching myself kind of in the zone. So that was really cool.
Yeah, you were in the zone. Thank you for saying that. That is exactly what it was. You were so locked in. It was crazy. Did you birdie your last five holes? Is that what it was?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, you birdied your last five holes. And if people didn't see it, it wasn't like you won 7 and 6. I mean, it was a battle against Cole Hammer. I mean, he's 18 years old, but the kid has a ton of talent. So it was as fun as I could remember covering a match between you two guys. I mean, it was back and forth and back and forth. And you slammed the door. It was a pretty impressive feat for sure. In moving forward this year in particular, you guys coming off an NCAA title, you coming off a U.S. Amateur title. I know Oklahoma State is going to be the team with the target, you know, kind of on your back. Does Coach Bratton tell you guys, you know, you've got to go through the process and you've got to prepare the right way? I mean, what is the game plan going forward into a year as you guys are trying to kind of go back to back and defend your title?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we've had a great year, and Spike Boshi also won the Canadian Man for the second time back to back. So we have a lot of guys going into the year with a lot of confidence, and Coach Bratton keeps telling us that okay, it doesn't matter what you've done before. That doesn't mean that the course is going to give you a 68 because you played well last week or play well yesterday. You still got to go and earn it. And when you start taking things for granted and think you're just going to show up and shoot a good number, that's when you're going to start going downhill. So I feel like we've done a good job of kind of resetting and start the process all over again. And hopefully we can start off, if not or as good or if not better than we did last year. And just keep that going.
All right, Victor, you got the last question. You got to give us a rundown of the classes you've got following a U.S. Amateur win. What are your classes for the fall at school?
Not even sure yet. No, I'm in accounting. I'm in business law, sports management, and communications, I think, online.
That's not bad.
So now, accounting and B-Law is going to kick my butt, but that's how it is.
And what is your schedule throughout the week in terms of practice? I mean, now that you get back at school, you're back comfortable where you're at, what is your process? I mean, morning to night, how often are you on the golf course? How often are you hitting range balls? What's a week like in the life of Victor?
Normally I practice quite a lot, but the past few days I've kind of just taken it easy. I've been really tired and a little stressed, so I haven't done much. Yesterday I hit balls for 30 minutes and that was about it.
But if like a normal week, are you getting up early, going out there before class, or you wait until after class?
No, I don't really get up before class because my classes are pretty early, but I get out there around 11 o'clock, eat lunch, and then I stay out there till 6:30 probably, and just kind of pace myself. I'm not the one that's going to stand on the putting green for 4 hours straight, but I'll be out at the golf course for a long time and kind of just practice for a little while, then go in and chill for a little while and then just go out again, kind of whatever I feel like.
Did you play other sports when you were in high school growing up?
I did, yeah. I did martial arts, so Taekwondo, for 7 years, as well as soccer for 7 years.
No skiing. I feel like that, I mean, is that just a cliche? Is that just an idiot American thinking everybody in Norway skis?
No, you're quite right on that. I'm just... Yeah, I'm not the quintessential Norwegian.
You're the outlier. Well, Victor, I appreciate the time, man. It was, like I said, it was a lot of fun to watch. For people that don't know the run you had and they didn't have a chance to watch the U.S. Amateur, it was as dominating as a performance as you'll ever see in any event, amateur, professional, or otherwise. So congrats. Enjoy the year. Enjoy the accolades that come with it, and we will see you at Augusta.
Awesome. Well, good talking to you. Pleasure having me on.
It looks like I'm a wreck. It's in the hole! It's in the hole!
Big thanks to our U.S. Amateur champion for jumping on. In between classes, he is juggling so many things. We'll be juggling the FedEx Cup playoffs, and this week we're at Ridgewood Country Club, but it's not the only must-play course in the tri-state area. The golf club at Mansion Ridge is a Jack Nicklaus design that boasts the same pristine conditions at a parkland-style course, but if you're looking for links or beachfront, check out a collection of thousands of other great golf courses around the country at teeoff.com by the PGA Tour, the official tee time reservation site of the PGA Tour. Start booking tee times without booking fees. That's right, no booking fees. Every course, every tee time, Plus, as a valued listener to the Clubhouse, you'll get to save an additional 25%. 25% on deal times with a single-use promo code TOFFBACON. Big thanks to listening. Always a big thanks to subscribing and following along. If you haven't gone to the Instagram, The Clubhouse Pod, I'm giving away a Dustin Johnson signed photo. I already have one contest going. You're out because it's Thursday and they've already teed off. The good news is I'm going to give another one away on Sunday. So pay attention to the Instagram at The Clubhouse Pod if you want a signed Dustin Johnson photo from his win last year at the Northern Trust. And we'll be back next week with more at the Clubhouse. Get out this weekend. The weather is improving. It's improving in Phoenix. It's not nearly as hot. I'm going to try to play some golf. You should do the same thing, and we'll chat next week.